Good to see all of y'all here this morning on this foggy morning. I'm glad I didn't have to drive too far to get here. Some of you may have driven just as much as I did, and a lot of you drove a lot less, but at least we're here in the Lord's house, and God's got a word for us. Time to worship. After all, the focus is not on us, but on Jesus. He's the one that's on the throne. He's the one that's worthy of our praise, our worship. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that's coming back to get us. He's the one that we're going to worship for all of eternity. It's all about Jesus. We're glad that you've come. If there's anybody out in the parking lot listening, we welcome you. There's others who listened later on the website, and I think that there are some. We welcome you to be a part of the service today as we celebrate Jesus. May we pray. Father God, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, the older I get, the more aware I am that every day we have is a gift from you. And so, Father, as we come into your presence today, we know that you're welcome to meet with us. You know our hearts. You know who's excited, who might be sad, who might be asking a question spiritually. Whatever it is, Lord, I ask that you just come and have your way to speak to our hearts. And Lord, give us spiritual ears to hear, that not only might you speak, but we'd know that we've heard from you. And Lord, like Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, may we be willing to say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I volunteer." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning and Merry Christmas. I see some of you, we're going to be getting into Christmas mood. Well, matter of fact, we already are. And I'm just looking around this morning, and I can tell you now, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, isn't it? Everywhere you go. And I'm so thankful but it's December already, and I can't believe it, but it is. And so in December, we're going to recognize the December birthdays at this time. Ryland Frick, December the 6th. And hey, we missed it, didn't we? Just a little bit. Andre Louder, December the 7th. Jay Julius, December 17th. Happy birthday, Jay. Ann Barbie, December the 20th. Janice Hopkins, December the 22nd. Happy birthday, Janice. Grant Hartzell. Now, Grant, here you've got two birthdays, and I think that's pretty difficult to do, but we'll ask your mom, okay? But anyway, we got December the 23rd, but it is.
It's 23rd. It is the 23rd. This is real one. 22nd.
Okay, the 22nd.
It's an ongoing joke.
But it's, well... I've got a note out here, and it says it is the 22nd. Ha, ha, ha. So we're all going to laugh at that one. But anyway, happy birthday whenever. Anna Frick, December the 26th. Angela Frick, December the 26th. Y'all had the same birthday. Isn't that interesting? I bet it was on the same day, too. I mean, exactly the same day and hour. That's wonderful. Who would have thought it? Robert High, old Duke boy right there, December the 29th. He's smiling this morning. That's good. Ted Barbie, December the 30th. And that's all I have unless I've forgotten someone. All right, with that being said, let's sing Happy Birthday. Give me a key I can hit, Miss Brenda.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And the anniversaries are Robert and Kathy High. How many years, Robert?
21.
21. Congrats. That's wonderful. And Jason and Karen Linker, December the 19th. God bless. All right. Then with that being said, we're going to sing our Christmas hymn this morning. And we have that ready to go this morning as we want to sing one we haven't sung in a while. I got to tell you that we didn't. Angels from the Realms of Glory. If you would please all stand. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sing redemption's story, now proclaim Messiah.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below.
I do have an announcements this morning. I do have one other birthday that I need to report on, and that is Luke and Keely had their baby yesterday, or she did. She had the baby. And it's a boy, and I don't have any more information than that, and it'll all be forthcoming, and you'll see it in the next week's bulletin. But congratulations to Keely and Luke. Now, as far as announcements goes, first I'm going to do what Captain Kangaroo and my mother taught me to do a long time ago, say please and thank you. I'm going to say thank you to us. If you're looking around, like I've already sang a few notes this morning, it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And thanks to Angie and Wes, that's a beautiful tree, and all the decorations are up, and we're the same way down in the fellowship hall. So thank you so much. Yes, ma'am. Very good. Thank you, Wings. Thank you, Wings. And while we're thinking, let me also thank you, all of you, for last night, for came, and there were those that worked very hard, and we thank you for that, Wings. We thank you for being a sponsor of that along with the Baptist men, and we all had a wonderful time in fellowship. We missed some of you. Now, some of you that were not able to be there, it's important that I give you a message. Over here on this front pew, beside Miss Brenda there, you're going to see some bags, some red, got some red things in the top, some got some green. Now, you guys that were here last night, no, were not here last night, feel free to get a bag as long as they last and take home with you. Same way with you ladies. We got more red than we got green, I believe, but as long as we got them, you get one, take it home with you if you didn't get one last night, okay? Now, also, let's see. I also wanted to thank another person, and while I'm in the mood to really say thank you, is this lady right over here, Miss Kathy. I see her a lot of Sunday mornings, and she's still doing the bulletin and with her curlers on. And she looks so cute with that way. You know. And Robert, you're just missing something if you don't come here and watch that. That she's something.
I'm usually here with her.
Okay. But I got to tell you, she's not known for being early on anything, but she is known to be dependable. Dependable. You'll get it, and it'll be here. Thank you, Kathy. Miss Rosina, do you have anything you want to add about last night at all? Feel free to do so. Then I'll go ahead with the announcements in the bulletin this morning. Well, they will be today after worship today. There will be a church council meeting. Church council meeting will be at 11. So I tell you what, let's all meet downstairs. I believe it was a little crowded the last time. Let's meet downstairs in the fellowship hall, okay? I think we'll have, was that all right?
Mm-hmm.
No?
The family get it.
Oh, that's so right. Forget that. Sorry, Tonda. I knew. I
just meet here?
Yeah, we can meet right here if you want to do that. You'll do that, Kenny?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Let's meet right down these pews right here. That'll be great. Okay. All right. Wednesday night. Now, in your bulletin, it says no Wednesday night service. We will have Wednesday night service this Wednesday night. So come and be in your place with us, and we encourage you all to come for the time of Bible study. Saturday at December the 13th, children's program practice and rehearsal. So your children, be there. Okay. All right. Then next Sunday, we'll have a full slate again in the afternoon. There'll be children's worship. 6 o'clock will be children's Christmas play practice and fellowship. So 6 o'clock next Sunday. Okay. Then in youth, children, and Christmas program, our youth, children, and children Christmas program will be presented December the 14th at 6 o'clock. Please bring your favorite finger foods or desserts since you share with it in the fellowship hall. We're excited to bring this to the program, okay? And we're all going to be giving out the bags again this year, and I would encourage you, you men, that we've decided to, we'll work. Me and Kenny, I'm right, Saturday at what time did we say?
Say 6.
6 o'clock. Saturday at 6 o'clock. Come and help us put the bags together Saturday at 6. on the 13th. Okay. Lottie Moon Christmas offering kicks off, and did you have a video on that, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. At this time, we'll look at the Lottie Moon video.
Wait a minute, wrong one.
Okay.
We've been doing these for 2 years. I think we've done maybe every single month. We try to do one. Oh yeah, the Christmas lights. Music is so important to me and my family. I never ever thought that I would be able to do an open mic. The live music scene is not good here, and I would walk by these pubs and these bars, these coffee shops, and be like, oh, I would just love to do open mics again, because I was doing them in the States. Now we're doing a lot of music. So the Basque people they're really ancient in general, so their songs just go back, the music goes back. Music, especially singing, is very, very big in the Basque country. A lot of expressive hope politically for freedom and for liberation and to guard their culture and to guard their language. And having open mics gives people kind of like a place to express themselves. In the open mics that I do, I like to invite the community and you invite the local church, and they just have really great conversations. And a lot of times, like, they'll ask us to go get coffee later. We start sharing about the hope and love of Christ. For a Christian, we're responding to a person. We're responding to their creator. And so whether you're in church or whether you're in a pub, that's what's going on.
All right, let's remember the Lottie Moon offering, please, because it's a very, very important offering. And we do such a wonderful job each year on that, and I have to commend you on that. All righty, let's see. There's something I'm missing here. Christmas card. You've already mentioned that, Rosina, the Christmas card. So, but y'all remember to get them in here. You said the 14th?
By the 14th, really good.
Okay, all righty. I have to admit, I have not got mine in yet, but I promise you they'll be there, God willing. All righty. All right, are there any announcements I have overlooked? All right, with that being said, let's go to our prayer request this morning. Eva Ann has asked for a prayer for her daughter and for missionary journey, and let's remember them as they go on their missionary journey. Eva Ann, I didn't catch exactly where they're going, so...
Honduras.
Okay. All right, are there others this morning?
I have two.
Okay.
Kenda Mabry is in... The hospital was admitted this morning with a pulmonary embolism. It's just going to have surgery, so if you guys will pray for her.
Kenda, okay.
And then one of my best friends, Rachel Hughes-Millette, is having surgery as we speak for some heart issues.
So Rachel, what was her name?
Hughes-Millette, M-A-L-L-E-T-T. And she's having surgery today.
Okay, that's Rachel Hughes-Millette. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Let's continue to pray for our nation, as our nation is seems to be in more turmoil over doing the right thing, and I don't understand it anymore. But God, but the devil has found a way to create a lot of problems. So let's pray for our nation, let's pray for our leadership, and let's pray for our church. All right, are the others? Okay, then let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity you've given us to worship. And Lord, as we're reminded, as we look around us today, Lord, we're entering the Christmas season. And Lord, we really should be in the Christmas season year-round, as we're so thankful for the birth of your Son. That he died on that cross, Lord, to give us life eternal. But Lord, as we remember Christmas, Lord, we remember the good times and the bad times, and but all the great times that we've had. And Lord, you've always been there for us. We thank you for answering prayer. We thank you for the faith, Lord, that you ask us to have. We thank you for the mercy and for the grace. But now, Lord, as we go forward today, Lord, there are those, Lord, that will need a touch from your precious hand. We pray, Lord, for Kathy and her family, that they'll be on their missionary journey to Honduras. We lift them up to you, Lord, and pray for traveling mercy for them. We pray for Kenda Mabry, Lord, as she is suffering this morning. We pray for Rachel Hughes, Manette, and surgery. And then, Lord, we pray for our nation as a whole. Lord, help us, Lord, realize that we need to turn back to you. Lord, we know that a nation without God will not stand. Help us, Lord, to realize that more and more as we go through life. We pray for our church, Lord. We pray for Barbers Grove Baptist Church. Lord, that we'll continue, Lord, and be able to grow here and to be able to spread your word to others that they may understand and know you as their personal Savior. We pray for our pastor, Lord, who now comes and we preach the sermon today, Lord. We have asked a blessing upon Kathy, Lord, who will be coming to share with us the Christmas message. And then, Lord, we'll be very, very careful, Lord, to give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. And all the people said, amen. As I have already alluded to in my prayer, Kathy is going to come and share with us this morning one of my favorite new songs. Of course, it's not new anymore, Christmas songs. It says, Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy
Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate that. I was really impressed with the spiritual insight that was in your Sunday school lesson this morning. I'd love to sit down and have a little conversation for an hour with the writer just to see where they're coming from in some areas and what their further beliefs were. And I don't know that that'll ever happen, but it'd be interesting. I sort of want to add to that a little bit, not to discuss that particular scripture, but to talk about the power of God. Now, let me give you an experience of my own to start with, and then we'll eventually get to some scripture. When I moved to one of the towns where I was a pastor years and years ago, a couple of guys that I knew tried to convince me to join the civic organization that they were, where they were members. They said, "Oh, you know, it'd be good for you for your to meet some of the movers and shakers of our community. It'll be good publicity for the church, for them to know you." And so I didn't feel yes or no from the Lord, so I joined. It didn't take me very long to realize I had absolutely nothing in common with those guys. Secondly, I was totally offended by the vulgar stories that were a part of every program. Somebody always had to, as a part of the program, get up and tell a dirty joke. The couple of guys that had convinced me to join were not members of my church, but they were deacons in their Baptist churches. And I was offended that they weren't offended. It bothered me that they could sit there week after week, week after week, week after week, and listen to that filth and think, well, there's nothing wrong with them. And then fourth, I realized I was not going to participate in that group's fundraising projects. So I unjoined. I don't think that's a word. I quit going, quit paying my dues. Now, as I thought about that, I wondered, is that sort of what happens with a lot of people when it comes to church? You got a child who's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and mom, dad, preacher, Sunday school teacher says, "Have you thought about joining the church and being baptized?" And the kid thinks, you know, that'd be a good idea, and joins. Or maybe it's a teenager who's going to church with a friend and decides, you know, I'd just like to join so I can be a part of the group. Or maybe an adult who's invited to church by family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and they get to coming and they said, well, they'll just join. And maybe even serving some leadership roles eventually. But after a while, they realize this just isn't for me, and they just unjoin. They just fade away. Now, myself, I contacted whoever I needed to contact in that civic group and said, take my name off your roll. Most of the time, that doesn't happen in the Baptist church. That's why we have about 60 faithful church attenders and 200 on the roll, something along that line. You know how hard it is to get off the roll of a Baptist church? I remember at Prospect, along about 1990, we tried to clean up the roll. And so we're going down the list. And so then we presented it on a business meeting. We're going to take some. And one lady, no. You can't take off such and such a name. She was the cutest kid when she joined the church and was baptized after Bible school in 1937. Now remember, this is 1990. I said, where is she? Anybody know anything about? No. But we can't take her name off the roll. And they wouldn't vote to take her name off the roll, so even though it'd been 50-something years, her name still may be on the roll and she'd be 100 years old. You know, in some Baptist churches, you show up with a death certificate, an obituary notice in the newspaper, a notarized copy from the doctor that pronounced the person dead, and a notarized note from the funeral director that says which cemetery they're in, and somebody will say, I think we ought to put their name on the inactive list to make sure if they don't show up in the next 5 years, we'll take them off. It's hard. The point I want to make is this. Somebody that has the kind of experience with God and an awareness of the presence of God that the Apostle Paul had is not easily unjoined or quitting from the walk with Christ. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. How many have had a real experience like Paul had? Chapter 1 of Romans, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Paul says, I'm not ashamed, I'm not embarrassed, I'm not troubled by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was not any way at all troubled or ashamed to be called a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says it is the power of God unto salvation. That word power is dunamis in the Greek, which we get our word dynamite. Now, if you've ever seen I've never seen it in person, you may have, but whether you've seen it on television or in a movie, and they've got a building they want destroyed, big, tall building, and they fill it full of dynamite, or it's a bridge they want destroyed, or maybe they're building a road and they need to take out a mountainside, and they fill it full of dynamite, and somebody pushes that plunger, and all of a sudden, the bridge explodes, or the building explodes, or the mountainside explodes. That's a powerful, powerful thing. And so Paul says the gospel is like dynamite that's life changing. Now, I've heard that before, and it's true. But also learned in reading after a Greek scholar that word dunamis can also describe the power of an army that's invincible and unstoppable. If you remember your history, Genghis Khan, Attila the Hun, Alexander the Great, when their armies came over the hill, nothing stopped them. And that's also that word dunamis. It means like an all-conquering army. Now, you think about the dynamite in Paul's life. How everything changed in a week's time. Paul leaves Jerusalem. He's on his way to Damascus. He hates Jesus. He hates Christians. He wants to arrest and imprison and kill all the Christians. He wants to obliterate Christianity off of the face of the earth. He encounters Jesus. He's blind. Hands are laid on him. He's baptized. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. We believe he spoke in tongues. And in less than a week's time, he's standing up preaching that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, that's awesome. That in a week's time, he goes from hating Christians, hating Jesus, to standing up and preaching that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, that's dynamite to change a person's life that much. Now, we've heard that all of our lives, most of us. And it doesn't shock us as much as it should. Now, I thought of two illustrations, contemporary illustrations, that will give you the same picture. Now, if you go home this afternoon, you eat your lunch, you sit down in your recliner, you flip on the TV, you're going to watch the football game. And every channel you turn to says breaking news. And you think, what in the world is going on that is so that's taken over every channel? And they come on and say, Russian President Putin has announced that he has apologized to the Ukrainian people. He's withdrawn all troops. He's sending Ukraine $1 trillion to rebuild what he destroyed. He's restored all prisoners. He's resigning the Russian presidency. And he's going to go to one of his countryside homes and live out the rest of his life. You'd be saying, no, wait a minute. It's in December. This isn't April Fool. You would be so shocked if that happened. Let's bring it to America. If instead of Putin, the breaking news said, President Trump is on the news. He's apologized for the trouble that he's caused in America. He says, I've recalled all the ICE agents. I've canceled the Department of Government Efficiency. I've sent the National Guard home. I fired Vance, all of my cabinet heads. I've resigned the presidency. I'm going back to Mar-a-Lago. And oh, by the way, I sent out two letters. I sent one to the Republican Party that I resigned as a Republican. I sent another one to the Democratic Party asking to be enrolled. Now, if that was the news, you would be shocked, I think. That's the kind of experience that Paul had. You remember when he went back to Jerusalem preaching Jesus? They were scared of him. They didn't want anything to do with him. They thought it was all an April Fool's joke or some kind of scam, some kind of trick to arrest more prisoners. And only after Barnabas came in and vouched for him did they even listen to him. But even then, if you notice and remember the scripture, it wasn't long. They said, maybe you need to go back to Tarsus, your hometown, and stay there a little while. And Paul never did have any real authority in Jerusalem. He came back to Jerusalem two or three times, but usually came back bearing monetary gifts for the church there. He did. It was James that had the authority there in Jerusalem, and Peter. Paul's ministry came out of Antioch. He was totally changed by the power of God. That's the kind of thing that Paul experienced. It was radical. It was total. And not only was he changed, Paul could go out and preach and it didn't matter what was going on. The power of God was there. People were healed, people were saved, he was protected, he was anointed, and lives were so changed that people stopped buying idols, they destroyed their idols, they burned their satanic and witchcraft materials. Their lives were totally changed, like that army just swept through. It was not always that easy. Sometimes it was easier than in others. But Paul's life was radically changed, and everywhere he went, he was aware of the power of God. And it didn't matter if they turned him loose, he preached. If they put him in jail, he wrote Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and probably Hebrews. It didn't matter. God's power was so flowing through Paul that wherever he went, lives were changed. You see, a person who just joined, and that made up word can unjoin, but a person that's had the dynamite of God in their life and knows and experiences the power of God in ministry just can't quit. There's something about the power and presence of God that keeps us loving the Lord and serving the Lord. Now, most of you are like, I think, probably like me. When I accepted Jesus at 8 and walked the aisle at just turned 9, I hadn't murdered anybody. I hadn't robbed any banks. I hadn't been on any drunken binges. I wasn't taking any drugs other than getting a shot of penicillin now and then when that nurse came out and had that big old long needle held up behind her back and so long it seemed like it stuck out on both sides. But other than that, but God still did something in my heart as a little 8-year-old boy that radically changed me and continues to change me over and over and over and over again. I didn't have to totally radically change like Paul did. Or, you know, if you know the story of John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. If you know his background as a drunk, as a slave ship captain, and all of the other debaucheries that he was a part of, for God to change him, save him, he write Amazing Grace, he becomes a preacher. Amazing the power of God to change lives. And it's the power of God that makes the difference. It's the power of God. And your Sunday school lesson today talked about the power of God, the power of the gospel. And the power of the gospel makes a difference if we understand it, if we accept it, if we live it. We should never, never, never be the same. If God's dynamite's gone on in us, and if we are aware that we can live with God's power all around us, it's the true gospel. And it's not a church joining gospel, it's a life-changing, empowering gospel. Amen. Don't be satisfied with a weak, watered-down gospel. And in your Sunday school lesson today, it was talking about faith to some extent. You know, that dad had faith to take his kid to the disciples. He had a level of faith to do that. When the disciples couldn't cure his kid, he could have said, well, too late, too bad, gone home. But he had faith to wait around until Jesus came. And then he had the faith to, when Jesus said, you still got something that you're missing, he had the faith to say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In order to receive the power of God. And folks, it all comes down to this. What do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe that the gospel is dynamite and all powerful or not? You say, well, Pastor Ed said, why don't we experience that? Why don't we experience that? Unbelief. Unbelief. You remember? The gospel says that Jesus went to Nazareth, his hometown, and he could there do no mighty works. Why? Because of their unbelief. That atmosphere of doubt, that atmosphere of unbelief, squeezed in even the power of Jesus. You remember on one occasion they bring to him a person that needs healing, and it says Jesus took him out of town. He got him out away from the unbelievers, and then he healed him. And it's so interesting to see the difference between belief and unbelief. Many, many, many years ago, I got a phone call from a lady that I knew. She said, "Ed, you believe in anointing with oil and praying for the sick, don't you?" I said, "Yes." She says, "My preacher doesn't." Said, "My 14-year-old son has cancer. Would you pray for him?" I said, "I'll be coming through your town Friday evening. My daughter Sarah and I will be coming through your town about 4 or 5 o'clock. Have your son at your place of business." We stopped. We anointed him with oil. Sarah and I prayed over him. 40-some years later, at least 30, the kid's grown, married, have had kids. But then I think of another guy. His pastor would like to have 100 just like him. He is so faithful in his church, he and his wife. They're active. They're probably some of the better givers in the church. They hardly ever miss a service. But I tell him a story like I just told you, and he said, "Yeah." And I start telling him some of the stories that I've read over the years of where the power of God. Now, he'd fight you that the Bible's true and the miracles of the Bible are true. But when I start talking about contemporary works and the power of God, his attitude of unbelief just kills it. I've learned not even to bother to even try to talk to him about it or give him examples because he doesn't believe it. Now, you can believe in a powerful gospel, or you can believe in an unpowerful gospel, a weak, watered-down gospel. But Paul says it's the dynamite of God. It's the all-encompassing army of God that brings salvation to those who believe, whether it's Jews or Greeks, Jews or Gentiles. God is a mighty God. And he wants to do a work in our lives. He wants to do a work in our church, our community, our nation, that's unreally in the sense of how wonderful and powerful it would be. But we can live in unbelief, or we can live believing, "Lord, you can do it. And I'm on board with you doing it." We can believe, we can practice, we can live in that power of God. I hope that this afternoon, over and over and over again, the Holy Spirit will remind you of a God who has the power of God, the dynamite, the army of great power, to change lives. Nobody's hopeless. I know Barber's Grove's just like every other church. You got your list of hopeless. What about so-and-so doing that? They ain't never coming to church. No, you see them going knocking on their door. What about? They're lost. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. Hey, if my daddy can get saved at 67, 68 years old. If a guy that I had in my church up in the mountains taught Sunday school class that met back there where Gary and Tonda are, he was about 90. He got saved on his 75th birthday. Nobody is hopeless when God's dynamite goes off. We can live in unbelief, or we can live believing, oh, what an awesome God we serve. So I have an invitation. If somebody needs to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, somebody needs to come to the altar, somebody needs to just share something with me, or right where you are, you just need to cry out like the guy in the Sunday school lesson, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I gave that illustration a few moments ago. Please don't think I implied that I healed this young boy. God healed him. I just happened to be the one that God used. And you can be the person that God used. Read the last chapter of the book of Mark. To those who believe, if you're a believer, God can use you. Now may the Lord keep you, the Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace, his joy, his blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.